Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening to the program today. Hope that everything is going really well with you today and that you're looking forward perhaps to getting out and worshiping God on this first day of the week. We'll be doing that at the Eastside Church of Christ. We have a special series of lessons starting this morning. We want to invite you to those. We'll be meeting at 9 o'clock this morning at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. So if you're anywhere in the Athens area, join us at 9 for Bible study, 9:50 for our worship assembly. And this afternoon, we're meeting at a special time, 3 o'clock. Normally, we meet at 5 on Sunday evenings, but today we're going to be meeting at 3 o'clock. And hope that you can be with us for these special studies. And they'll continue Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night of this week at 7 o'clock. I want to tell you about our special guest speaker that we have. His name is Gardner Hall, and he's been preaching the gospel for many years, been working up in the New York City area for many years. Gardner speaks Spanish fluently, but he's been working a lot among Spanish-speaking people, both in New York and elsewhere. But we're delighted to have him with us. He's an old friend of us here at Eastside. And he'll be coming to speak to us in this series of lessons about conviction and mercy. Gardner's written a book, he wrote it several years ago, entitled Conviction Versus Mercy. And you know, it's interesting to me, the book is, and the concept of this series of lessons, because most people who are striving to live lives as Christians have this issue, a problem perhaps, of finding a balance between standing for the truth and standing for the truth with boldness and sharing the truth with others, while also being kind and merciful in dealing with others. And so this series of lessons and the book that Gardner wrote on this subject has to do with striking that balance, a balance that God certainly has. He stands for the truth. He is the truth, but he's also very, very merciful. And for us to be able to learn how to stand for the truth strongly and boldly and to stand up for our convictions in this world, and yet also to be kind and merciful and full of grace as we're dealing with others, that's such a valuable lesson, such a valuable way to spend our time these next few days thinking with Brother Gardner Hall about this subject matter. So again, we invite you to be with us. We start this morning at 9 o'clock, and the lessons will continue this afternoon at 3, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 p.m. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. So if you're anywhere in the Athens area, we'd love for you to be with us for this series of lessons. You know, this radio program is called The Way That Leads to Life, and we've mentioned that of course, a number of times as we introduce the program on Sunday mornings, that phrase comes from something that Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14. He said that narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's a very challenging statement, isn't it? To think about that there's a way that leads to life, but there's a narrow gate to get into that way. And the way is not particularly easy. It's a difficult way. So when Jesus says it's a narrow gate and a difficult way, maybe that doesn't sound all that inviting to a lot of people. But Jesus wants us to take that way so we can have life. I want to talk this morning with you about the life that Jesus is talking about there. What does he mean? The way that leads to life. What kind of life are we talking about? We're already all alive, right? So what do we need something else called life for, and what is that all about? What life is Jesus talking about? Well, the life that we're living here on earth will certainly end in death unless the Lord comes first. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. So there is life after this life. And it's that life, the life that's after this life, that Jesus wants us to find. He wants us to take that way that leads to life. The life we're living is a life then that we're to give to Jesus so that he can give us life everlasting. The life on this earth is temporary at best. No matter who you are, you're not going to be on this earth forever. Your life will come to an end on this earth. But if you give your life on this earth to Christ, he will gladly give you life everlasting. Listen to what Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus invites people who want to be his disciples to take up the cross and follow him. You know, the cross is more than just a burden to bear. The cross, of course, symbolizes one's death. The cross was an instrument of death. People in Roman times and New Testament times were put to death, were executed on crosses. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, he's basically saying, give your life to me. Let me lead you in life, but give your life to me. Give up your life for me. And in that way, then, he says, if you find your life, if you keep your life for yourself, you're eventually going to lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, if you give your life to him, in other words, you're going to find life. Later on in the Gospel of Matthew, and much that we'll be looking at today is in the Gospel of Matthew. We'll look a little bit in the Gospel of John a little bit later on. So if you're at home and you have your Bible nearby, you might want to follow along in Matthew chapter 16 now as Jesus elaborates a little bit further on this concept of following him and giving our lives for him so that he could give eternal life to us. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 16 and verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will repay each person according to what he has done. So here are some basic Bible concepts that Jesus is laying out for us, but also intertwined with these basic Bible concepts of life, of man's eternal soul, of judgment to come. Jesus is talking about this life, this eternal life that he wants to lead us so that we can find. He wants to give us. Jesus says in order to have that, you have to deny yourself. Most people want to live life on earth the way they want to live life on earth, right? Frank Sinatra sang that song, I Did It My Way. And a lot of people, you know, to a lot of people, that's sort of an anthem in this world. We want to live life on our own terms, live life our own way. But Jesus is encouraging us to deny ourselves. If you want to come after Jesus and follow him into eternity, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. And again, as we mentioned a few moments ago, as Jesus said in Matthew 10, take up your cross and follow Jesus. And then he asked the question, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? You see, your soul is immortal. It's going to live forever somewhere, not physically on this earth, but man has an immortal soul. And this concept, of course, is found throughout Scripture. Jesus is asking the question, what are you going to give? What are you willing to forfeit? You know, if you forfeit your own soul, what profit are you going to have if you gain the whole world and forfeit your own soul? Suppose, you know, somebody said, well, I give you all the money in the world. I'll give you, name something you like, cars or clothes or houses or whatever it is. I'll give you all of those that you want. And yet, the price for that would be, you know, give me your soul. Your soul is your eternal self, your immortal self. It's not worth it. The trade would not be worth it. A man would not be profited if he gained the whole world and forfeited his own soul. And then Jesus explains again in verse 27 that he's coming again with his angels and he's going to judge human beings and repay each person according to what they've done with their life on earth. He says that he will repay each person according to what he has done. Then later on in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 18, down in verse 8, Jesus teaches us that any sacrifice then in this life is worth making. Anything that we need to forfeit in order to have eternal life, it's worth forfeiting that thing. Notice the way Jesus talks about it in Matthew 18 and verse 8. He says, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. We have, two places that we can go in eternity. Jesus describes one of them as hellfire or eternal fire, and the other one he describes as life. Jesus wants us to enter life. He's done so much so that you and I can enter eternal life. But there's something that would prohibit that. There's something that would keep us from entering life. And that is if we live sinful and wicked lives on this earth and don't receive forgiveness from Him, don't receive His grace and forgiveness. So sin is really the human problem. It's the thing that will cause us to be eternally lost, if we are eternally lost. It's the thing that obviously will cause us to go to what Jesus calls eternal fire, or the hell of fire, as he says in this passage. So he says, he's saying to us then, in essence, if your hand or your foot or your eye is causing you to sin, it would be better to get rid of that thing that's causing you to sin, to cut it off and lose that thing, rather than to go with your hand and your foot or in your eye into eternal fire and not go into life. So anything is worth sacrificing in this world if it will, in sacrificing that thing, help us get to life. Do you want life? Do you want life everlasting? Surely we do. If we understand the importance of eternity itself and the choice that we're making while we're here on earth, a choice of eternal life or eternal punishment, a choice of being in heaven with Christ and God the Father, or a choice of being in hell with all of the sinful and the unforgiven and the unredeemed of all the ages, where would you rather be? Make that choice that leads to life. And what that might mean is then you're going to have to stop doing something maybe that you're doing that's wrong. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Jesus says, I don't know that he's talking literally there. He doesn't want people cutting their hands off. He wants them to stop sinning. But he's saying to us that whatever it takes to stop sinning, that's what you need to do. And so if you're doing something with your hand that's sinful, maybe it's taking something that belongs to somebody else, maybe it's hurting somebody with violence, whatever it might be, if you're doing something with your hand that is sinful, stop that thing. Stop it no matter what. And if you're going places that you shouldn't go, maybe your feet are taking you to places where, you commit sin. You do things that are not according to the will of God, not pleasing to Him. Stop going to those places. Stop letting your feet take you to those places. And if you're looking at things that cause you to sin, and that could be a whole lot of things that we lust after, things that we covet, pornography on the internet, whatever it might be. It's all sorts of things that your eye can look at and focus on that will lead you into sin. And Jesus says, don't look at those things. Don't focus on those things anymore. That's really what he's telling us. So whatever we have to give up in the way of doing something or going somewhere or looking at something, whatever we have to give up in order to go to heaven, give it up, whatever it is. And Jesus is so serious about it. Again, he uses this extreme terminology, but he wants us to understand how important it is. Cut off your hand, cut off your feet, pluck out your eye if you need to. That's how important, that's how vital this is. Any sacrifice in this life is worth making in order to inherit life to come. In Matthew chapter 19, then, there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He comes running to him on the road, and he says, Matthew 19 and verse 16, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit or have eternal life?" So this young man is looking for eternal life. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And this is interesting. You know, Jesus is talking to somebody. They're still living under the law of Moses when Jesus is talking here. He's talking, no doubt, to an Israelite, a Jew. This individual wants to have eternal life. He says, "What should I do?" And Jesus says, "We need to keep the commandments." So the man responds to him and he says, "Well, which ones?" So Jesus says in verse 18, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So Jesus lists some of the Ten Commandments. These are the things that a person needs to do to inherit eternal life. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But the young man, when he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So here's somebody who comes to Jesus and he wants eternal life. That's what he's asking Jesus about. And Jesus tells him what he needs to do. He needs to do what God says to do, you know, obey the commandments. And the young man says, "Well, I've done that. What do I still need to do?" And Jesus tells him, well, he needs to sell his stuff and give it to the poor and live a life that shows concern for others and not for himself, basically, is what Jesus is saying. In other words, deny yourself. It's what he said earlier in the multiple texts that we've looked at already today in Matthew 10 and Matthew 16. Deny yourself. The young man wasn't ready to do that. He was, in fact, sort of possessed by his possessions, wasn't he? I think a lot of us are that way. We don't want to give up our life here. We don't want to give up our things. We don't want to give up the pleasures that we experience and the joys that we have for ourselves. We don't want to live for others. We want to live our life our way, as we've said earlier. And when that's our attitude, then the prospect of life everlasting becomes pretty dim. It will be really difficult to inherit eternal life if we're possessed by our possessions, if we're so worried about material things and this world and the pleasures of this world, that we can't give those things up for the benefit of others and in order to follow Jesus. Well, as this text goes on in Matthew 19, the disciples see what Jesus has told this man, and they ask him in verse 25, "Who then can be saved?" It says they were astonished. They were astonished at this. Who then can be saved, they say. Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." And Peter said to Jesus then, he says, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Peter and the other disciples, well, they left everything to follow Jesus. They had done what Jesus challenged that young man to do. So Peter wants to know, well, how's this going to turn out for us? We've done that. Jesus assures him. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Jesus says, if you'll give your life for me, I'll give eternal life to you. It's not just a fair exchange. It's far, far more than that. It's grace and it's goodness beyond anything we can imagine. Jesus is offering eternal treasures, real, everlasting home with him in heaven. That's what he's offering us, just to give up things that we can't keep anyway. You realize that, right? We can't keep the things of this life. Somebody said you can't take it with you when you go. This life will soon be over for all of us. And so to cling to this life as if it were all there is to our existence, all there is to what it means to be a human being, to cling to this life and to be unwilling to let go of this life for Jesus is really holding on to that which is relatively worthless, and instead of giving it in exchange for that which is invaluable, eternal life itself. Jesus says, "Everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about that judgment scene when he's going to come and return to this earth. And when he comes, he is going to divide the good from the bad, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He explains it, Matthew 25 and verse 41. "The Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations shall be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will say to the sheep on his right hand, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" So here Jesus invites those who have eternal life to enjoy eternal life with him. "But the king will say to those on his left hand," down in verse 40, or 41 rather, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. Again, the same basic thing that Jesus has been talking about all through the Gospel of Matthew, as we've seen this morning, over and over again. We have a choice to make in this life. What are we going to do? We're going to give our lives to Jesus. We're going to give our possessions, our time, our energies for the glory of Jesus and to help others. Or we're going to hoard all of that for ourselves and live life on our own terms and do whatever we want and carve out the life that we want to live. We can do that, but we're giving up eternal life in the process. Jesus wants us to know that. He wants us to understand clearly what our choice is. I hope you can understand it this morning. Jesus so wanted and so wants each of us to choose eternal life. We're going to turn over now to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John also talks quite a bit about eternal life and that gift that God wants to give us. Most people know John 3 and verse 16. After Jesus has talked with Nicodemus about the importance of being born again, he says you must be born again. You must be born of water and spirit to inherit the kingdom. But in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God gave his only Son so that you and I could have eternal life. Now, as I said, most people know John 3:16. I don't think a lot of people know very much about the verses that follow that, especially leading up to the end of John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, the text says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. That's interesting, isn't it? And then you get down to the end of this chapter in verse 36. And the text says that he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. So, God has done so much to get us to have eternal life, to get us to believe on his Son, and to obey his Son. One translation in John 3 and verse 36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains in him." John chapter 4 begins an interesting account of Jesus interaction with a woman of Samaria. Right after these statements and events of John chapter 3, Jesus is traveling through Samaria, it says in John chapter 4 and verse 4, and he came to a city which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, was wearied from his journey, and he sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour of the day. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. You know, we have to have things in this life, don't we? We need food, we need water in order to survive in this life. But there's spiritual sustenance that's far more important and far more vital for us that we need. And Jesus is going to have a talk with this woman about what we really need. And it's not just food and water, but it's the water of life. So Jesus tells the woman, asks the woman rather, to give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. But the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would give you living water." The woman said, "You have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where do you get living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." That's the thing about this life. You know, we can get our needs fulfilled, satiated, our physical needs, our needs for food and drink and other things, but we'll thirst again. We'll have those needs again in this life. But Jesus wants to fulfill our needs eternally. And so he says to this woman, "Whoever drinks of this water that I will give will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life." That's the water Jesus wants to give you and I. That's the water that's worth finding, that's worth getting. Jesus wants to give us eternal life. But we have to walk the way that leads to life. We have to choose to follow him as our King and Savior. That's what Jesus wants of for each one of us. What about you this morning? Are you walking the way that leads to life, that leads to eternal life, a way of self-sacrifice where you're giving your life to Jesus, you're honoring him in your choices, your hands and your feet and your eyes are doing the things that Jesus wants you to do? Is that the way you're living? Is that the way you're walking? That's the way that leads to life. That's the way that leads to life. Well, I want to remind you before we end today that, again, we have a special guest speaker this week here at Eastside. Gardner Hall is going to be with us starting this morning at 9 o'clock. This afternoon at 3 o'clock is our meeting time. I think the announcer is going to say 5 o'clock, you know, as he closes in a minute, but we'll be meeting special times, 9 o'clock this morning, 3 o'clock this afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7. And we'd love for you to be with us for these special lessons brought to us by Gardner Hall concerning conviction versus mercy, such an important topic, something that we all need to think about and study about. And I hope that we'll see you at Eastside then, this morning or Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday night as we think about this important topic. Continue to strive to walk the way that leads to life.